to Education, Leadership, and Beyond, Surviving and Thriving. My name is Andrew Murata, host of the show, and super excited to be here live on Facebook, live here on Twitter, Instagram, proud member of the Education Podcast Network, Voice Ed Radio Canada, wherever you are taking in your podcasts. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for all of our live listeners and viewers. Jump in the chat, say hello. Say hello to me. And say hello, certainly, to our star guest tonight, Dr. J.R. Mitchell, Dr. J.R. Mitchell from Valley Stream 24, Long Island. He is the Assistant Superintendent for Business. He's also the President-elect of the Business Officials Association of New York. So excited to talk with J.R. Just got back from a mission trip to Guatemala. Got to give a shout out to our guy, Nathan Pierce, connected us. So we will meet JR in just a moment. And again, thanks for tuning in. I do want to thank the sponsor of today's program, IXL Learning, personalized learning there. And here is a word from the sponsor, IXL.
Hey friends, Andrew Murata here, surviving and thriving. And I want to thank today's sponsor for the podcast, IXL. Discover the power of data-driven instruction in your school with IXL. It is the most widely used online learning and teaching platform K through 12. It gives you everything you need to maximize learning, from a comprehensive curriculum to meaningful school-wide data. And IXL's diagnostic is research proven to be a strong predictor of performance on standardized assessments, including NWEA, MAPS, STAR, iLearn, just to name a few. And the best part, everything I just mentioned is all integrated into one platform, so you can simplify your ed tech tools. Visit IXL.com to lead your school towards data-driven excellence today. The link is in the show notes. And again, I want to thank IXL for sponsoring Education, Leadership, and Beyond.
All right, and we are back live. Again, thanks for IXL for sponsoring. Their link is in the show notes there. So the opening segment is about this mission trip. We're going to certainly talk to JR about it, but volunteering, giving of your time. And I had an amazing opportunity in 1999. I lived in Tuscany for a year. I lived in an Italian monastery, Augustinian priests, and I volunteered there. For a year, and looking back at my life, I'm an old guy now, but looking back then, it was one of the best years of my life to be able to hit pause on working and serving others and working in another country. So amazing. So the point here is hello, my friend Chris LeGrand from Oklahoma. Thanks for tuning in, Chris. The point is, when you have an opportunity to volunteer, to go somewhere and do something that's life-changing, life-impacting, giving of your gifts and talents to others, I would tell you to do it. Looking back on that year, I mean, that was a long time ago, 24 years ago, but it was one of the best years of my life. I just brought my daughter back to the town there in Tuscany this past summer, and the work I did there was still there. So it meant a lot for that. So when you have those opportunities, if you can volunteer and you could help serve others, go for it. It is, you get so much back in return. And certainly want to hear from J.R. Mitchell about his experience. Give a shout out to Helen Persertia from Port Jervis. Thanks for tuning in, Helen. But let's bring in today's guest from Long Island Valley Stream, Dr. J.R. Mitchell. Welcome to Education, Leadership, and Beyond.
Hello, Andrew. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, this is great. Excited to be here. Excited to have you on, and so much to learn. I'm glad we got through the first technological hurdle. We made it here in one piece.
You did. Yes, certainly. This is such a great opportunity. I'm really excited. Thank you again for having me on.
Yeah, and a shout out to our friend Nathan Pierce connecting us. Yes. Your roommate in Guatemala, is that correct?
Yes, he was my roommate.
God bless you. You need a vacation after that.
I want to be listed right now.
I know he's listening, probably taking pictures. Nathan is with Life Touch, the photo company. But this is Dr. J.R. Mitchell, friends, the Assistant Superintendent for Business, Valley Stream, New York, Union Free School District 24. You've been there 9 years, J.R. How are things going for you this year?
It's going great. You know, one of the things for us business officials, we all sort of fall in the same bucket of what to expect, you know, with New York and the state and the funding and just general trends. So for us, we have a new superintendent. So we're pretty much, we're laying the plans to now go off what we call the steroids, right? Which were the additional funding, which I'm sure you're aware of, the federal funding we've had the past few years after COVID. So us is just being able to sustain a lot of the programs, initiatives, and staffing, and we've been able to do that. And so we're looking forward to even expanding further. So it's always a challenge, but it's definitely great. It's my passion, it's what I love to do. So
you're definitely a numbers guy. We'll get into your background a little bit.
Certain, yes.
But JR, you know, leadership, there's a lot of different categories and characteristics, but you need a certain skill set for that assistant superintendent for business. What are some of the skills different than you need as a principal or a superintendent? What are some things that you do different in your role?
Sure. Great question. You know, one of the first things that I say about me, now I know a lot of my peers in the same category as well. You know, we've all had personality tests done as administrators, but when you go beyond that, you look at the numbers, it's your attention to detail, because numbers don't lie. And numbers at the same time, they have to be the truth, right? They have to not be wrong. They have to be accurate. And so with that, the paying attention to detail sounds like a coined phrase, but it's more to it than just saying, oh yeah, this is the right number, look on the paper. It's actually testing the numbers, matching numbers, doing your averages. And so not all folks are mathematically inclined, and most folks can do the basic math. But when you have to really look at both sides of the balance sheet, that's key. It's very critical, actually, for forecasting. And you know, I would say with that is being prepared at all times. You know, we're fiduciaries. We represent district taxpayers' dollars, and the constituencies, our board members, you know, rely on us and the superintendent to make sure we have the information at all times. So I think being prepared for questions, I go to meetings with all sources of information and access so that I can provide it. So I think that, and then of course, dealing with a lot of different individuals, but not in a corporate fashion. Like I've had corporate fashion before, but this is more so dealing with folks, you know, civil service, and it's a different mentality. It's not a negative mentality. Well, I want to just clarify what it is just being able to communicate, see their needs, seeing, you know, what pleasures that they enjoy, things that motivate them in a job, because it's different. Corporate is more about, hey, this is a bottom line. We don't necessarily have a bottom line. We want to be able to grow the district and be efficient, right? But we don't have this corporate mentality of like, hey, let's sell. Let's continue to sell as much as we can and bring, you know, shareholders higher value. So I think that's a distinction. And so having that flexibility, being able to learn quickly and adjust and pivot, those are all of the traits. And, you know, a lot of these traits our colleagues have, but I think it's more ingrained with the business official.
Yeah, for sure. JR, I sent out a memo to 5,000 people and there was a spelling error in it this week. It just happened, right? And, I, you know, you get the eraser out and people forgive me. You miss a comma, you make a mistake, it's a little different.
Oh, absolutely.
Tell me about that focus when you're working. I mean, do you put the blinders on like this? You turn all the music on? Like, how do you create that focus to really, as you say, get, you know, the details? Talk to me about focusing on the job.
Yes, focus is critical and huge and plays a large part in us dissecting the numbers and providing the budget. Because like you said, a comma off can really throw things out. And, you know, you're talking about taxpayer dollars. So for me, I'm a big 80s guy. I zone out and I'll just play my music in my office. And I do it at times where the office folks aren't there. So after 4 o'clock, the office pretty much clears out. I'm able to really focus. And I do different methods to make sure that I am checking the accuracy of the numbers, that I'm backing up things that I do on a spreadsheet and I do in a financial management system, just to ensure the numbers are on target. So the focus, again, is huge, plays a large part, but I think everyone, you know, may do it differently. I just able to just have multiple screens up, work different systems, and just continuously double check, work through the numbers, and just make sure it's right, you know. And then you do want to have folks proofread afterwards. So after you do it, you know, and you're confident in those numbers, you have, you know, your trusted colleagues and staff go through it. But that's really how I operate.
And if we're looking at this school year like a game, like a, let's say a basketball game with four quarters, mm-hmm. in terms of the budget season, we're in the fourth quarter, right? I mean, it's coming up here in May, right?
Just about. Yeah, I wouldn't say, because that is the finish line, the third Tuesday in May, right? That big day, folks come out and vote. But I'd say we're still in the third quarter, because we have to really gather what's on the other side of the balance sheet. What is our revenue? And a large part of the revenue, for some districts, not all, some districts don't rely too much on state, but certain districts like mine has a good chunk of percentage coming from state. We need to make sure we know what they agreed upon. And that typically doesn't come. They're supposed to come April 1st and agree on a budget. It didn't happen last year. It may or may not happen this year. But sometime, typically in April, we'll get that number. And the thing is, the timing in which we present our budget, we have to be somewhat conservative, but same time, not too much, to kind of balance out what's necessary and to keep our taxpayers, tax cap low. So I think that this is the third quarter only because we have a few more. We haven't really hit that final stride. Like, I can tell you real quick, we have to do a property tax report card. We have to do our budget brochures, you know, get that to the presses, make sure that looks right, right? And then a budget notice on top of a budget hearing after this is all adopted. So I think once it's adopted, then we get to that fourth quarter and we get to all the things I just mentioned.
Lots to it. A lot goes into it. And speaking of a lot, there's a lot of people watching live. Jump in the chat. Say hello. Let us know where you're coming from. I know there's a lot of friends and family close by, but when you're talking numbers, people want to certainly hear about it. And JR, you've been involved with numbers your whole life, teaching math. And then you went into mm-hmm. private banking and investing for a period of time. Yes. What brought you back to education?
Well, I got to tell you a couple things. One was the fact that we had the huge Armageddon in 2009 when the financial markets crippled, you know, when you had Lehman Brothers, you had Bear Stearns and the bailouts. So, you know, I survived that, I must say, but it was never the same and still not the same to this day. So after that, you know, you had a lot more, not necessarily competition, but just different ways in which, you know, you're dealing with private investors and their money. The risk appetite had changed. The disclosure went up so much. So, you know, not really honed on that, but that was one aspect where, you know, it's a different lifestyle, right? Schools is a little more relaxed. It's a little more balanced, even keel. And it's not the dog eat dog mentality. Matter of fact, I had a podcast not too long ago. We talked about how all of our colleagues in other districts were actually not competitors. We actually collaborate with one another, which is a great feeling. And then, you know, at the same time, it just, to me, I had already been a teacher many years ago, but knew I had wanted more at the classroom, left that, went into finance. So talking to some folks, it just made sense that I marry those two skill sets, right? So being part of education, understanding the aspect, the needs and wants, and then having the capacity, right, to manage and pretty much look at resources where we could be the support and foundation for a school district. That's where I got into the role of SBO. And so that's where I made my transition back in 2012.
And you went, so the teacher, you had not held a different administrative job. You went from the teaching level, banking, and right into the assistant superintendent?
Yes, well, I was very fortunate. So I did an internship in my neighborhood. And with that, I was able to go to Asbel, New York, pretty much, allowed me to go to their conferences. And being in the big networker I am, I built some great relationships. Met this one lady. This woman, you know, told me, hey, you know what? I may have something coming down the line. You know, she liked, you know, my, I guess my, at the time, you know, when you're younger and you come into an industry like this, you're hungry and you have that mindset. You want to learn, you want to grow. And a few months later, hired me, she grew me, was able to really learn a lot from her, and then able to come back into Long Island. Because at that point, I had just gotten my certification, took about a year. I did it on Saturdays, that's how I was able to transition. And so then, you know, moved into the Valley Sheen where I am now for the past 9 years.
Wow. What's something that you know now that you wish you knew then when you started out?
Wow. That's really something different there. I can say that if I had known about this industry and the fact that it has such flexibility, it has a great, at least, you know, I feel a good work-life balance, and you're providing so much positively toward your school district. If I had known that, it's plain as day, I would have gone into this industry straight out of college. But knowing a lot of peers, maybe like myself, having journeyed and ventured in different professions and have a host of work experiences, that also lended to who we are now and how we're able to manage these jobs. So I don't think necessarily that, hey, coming out, because there's only a handful of folks that I even know who have ever done that, but just saying if I knew that this was a rewarding career as what I've encountered, I probably would have just done it a lot sooner.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we learn when we get a little older. Yeah, we get a lot smarter, right?
That's the old saying. Exactly.
Yeah. Well, you heard the opening statement there about your trip, JR. Let's shift gears a little bit.
Yeah.
You had an amazing experience a couple months ago. Again, shout out to our friend Nathan Pierce. But you went on the missing trip with Life Touch.
Yes.
To Guatemala. Tell me, start to finish. Number one, how did you get in? How did you get picked? How did you land there?
So when I joined ASVO International about 2.5 years ago, went to the conference and then heard, met some folks there, heard from two women that they're going on this. They said, wow, okay, they know what it's about. They went in January of 23. I had them on my podcast, and I had to tell you, Andrew, we all were crying on the episode. It was emotional, what they encountered, what they experienced. I said to myself, wow, this is amazing. They said, this is a life-changing event. And so I said to myself, okay, I want to just go ahead and apply for it, you know, next year. So I applied for it last summer, and fortunately, I got the call to go, and only two ASVO International representatives go. So I was able to go with another gentleman from who I made a good association with as well, from Chicago area, Illinois. I mean, he and I really connected. And I think that this is such an amazing experience beyond just going, but just what you get out of it and what you give is just deep, absolutely profound.
Wow. So you knew this gentleman when you got there? Like, who did you know? And did you all go on the same flight? What? Tell me about getting there.
Okay, sure. Yeah.
And then logistics. When you got there. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. So once, actually, you went in from soup to nuts. So once we were selected, we had three different Zoom meetings with the host. And so first, they allayed the trip, what it entailed, why we go. Past trips, things like that. The next one was more so like, here's more what we're doing. You know, are you concerned about safety? Things like that. Food, how we take care of this and your restrictions. And then the third one was kind of a wrap up. After that occurred, December, they sent us a package kit for us to go. So we prepared. January, we fly to Houston. All to Houston on the first day. So this allows us to all be able to go out to Guatemala at once, and also allows us to connect. And so there were some team building exercises, some icebreakers that evening in the hotel. And so we were able then to really assimilate, form some relationships early on, and really gain a sense of camaraderie. After that, early morning, we're out. We go for the next 7 days. We're in Guatemala. And so the way we did it, I've never done it before. It's called bulk or group boarding. We went to a separate part of the airport, and they all just, you know, put us in right away, our luggage, everything like that. And then we just wound up going through checkpoints. So it was great. We get out there, two vans for us waiting, and we go to the hotel where we're staying. And I mean, it was different, but that was great. And there's a lot out there that Life Touch, who sponsored it, who work with Hug It Forward. They have images and videos. They're doing a lot of press. There's the media. I was in media with the patch. I'm being more media. I've done, you know, podcast episodes, post about it. So that's really how it came about.
Wow. Wow. And then you bump into this Nathan Pierce.
Well, actually, I met Nathan before. Okay. I met him at the ASBO conference the past 2 years. You know, he's a representative. You know, they're a major partner with ASBO National. And so I met him in Oregon in the fall of 22, and I met him in Maryland at the conference at the Gaylord last fall. Okay. So, you know, we talked, and then when we found out, actually we knew in Maryland that we were going to be going. I didn't know we were going to be roommates, though. Which is another story, right? But he was fine. But he actually had him on my show too. But at the end of the day, he's a good guy. You know, way he connected, personable. And that's why, you know, he's a great sales marketer. You know, you can't say anything about him. He knows his stuff and knows his people. And so much like me, we clicked. And so that continued on. So we found out we were roommates. Hey, we had a good system. It was
great. And so overall, when you were done, it was a building. You built a school. What did you?
Eco school. Yes.
You built a school. Okay.
Wow. Yeah. Long story short, it's a bottle school, they call it. Supposedly sustained for 100 years. It's German engineered. So you have the walls plastered on the outer portion, brick here and there, blocks. But then think of like insulation, okay? What we have is insulation that uses bottle caps. So the bottle cap, so the bottles actually take their waste, so inorganic waste. So they stuff each of these bottles, and then we have to line them up on this. It's almost like a tin. It's not a fence, but it's like a tin facade. And we line them up, we string them up, we tighten them up, and then that's why they call it the bottle. So that's pretty much. It took us several days to do that. But that was the main mission. But the mission was so much more than that. I don't know if you want me to go into a little bit more of that or not. But I can just tell you that we were immersed in the culture. And what I mean by that is we were able to talk to folks that came there every day on our lunch, tell about, you know, their plight, their lives, their families. We were able then to walk through the community, go inside homes. We were able to go in the basement one time, a lady. That's where she makes tortillas. Another woman, it was a seamstress. She was doing loom. I mean, it was amazing. And, you know, just the whole time, the kids are around us, bouncing around. We met the teacher. It was great. It's phenomenal. Wow.
Well, fantastic. What a great opportunity. And so happy that you got to be selected and experienced like that. And you have an opportunity to volunteer, it is life-changing. So good for you, and congratulations.
Thank you.
Another passion of yours, JR, you run a podcast too, SBO mm-hmm. Perspectives. Tell me about starting that podcast and the work you're doing with that podcast.
Okay, so everybody remembers the pandemic, right? Maybe not like it was yesterday, but so at the end of 2020, we were still, we were getting back. We were isolated for for quite some time. And you know, we weren't really able to get back out there. You know, we were masked, there were a lot of restrictions. And I have so many friends and colleagues across New York State. And at the time, you know, I miss those connections, right? I miss being able to go to even more so than a conference, just a local chapter meeting. So I started researching in November, what's it take to build a podcast. I found an app that kind of did it all in one. I got a microphone off Amazon. And so since I had two phones, you're gonna laugh at this. The old school way I did it was I call on my work phone, put on speaker, and then I had the mic connected directly to my other phone. And it would go to, I think, can't remember the name of the app, starts with an S. It would go right there. I upload it. And it was great because then I'm able to talk to my friends, connect. I said, well, you know what? At the same time, there's a lot of stuff going on too, right? That's current events that's happening. Also, you know, what about leadership? You know, or what about human resources? Just different aspects of school business. I said, well, let me develop a topic list. So for the first quarter of 2021, every week I had somebody on about a different topic, and I mixed it in. And I had some vendors come in, and I said, you know, let me talk to bus drivers, or let me talk to food directors, let me talk to superintendents, let me talk to politicians, and just expand it. And so at that point, though, I felt like I wanted to go even further and expand it. So one of my fellow colleagues, John, on the board of New York ASVAL, right? He had come on to the show. And he was saying, hey, listen, man, you know, I love to come on and, you know, and be co-host. And I was like, wow, you know, he's like, he wants to do it. I said, you know, and he's a good tech person. So then we talked about it. I said, yeah, sure, you know, why not? So later on that summer, he became my co-host, and then we just took off. We pretty much just, you know, started really reaching out to a lot of folks the following year. It got so much notoriety that then we were reaching out with ASVAL National folks. I think the first kickoff was when I spoke to somebody in the UK and realized, wow,
Wow.
this is my counterpart, my peer out there. Here's how to do it. And just it just went from there. Then I talked to somebody in Illinois, and then it just kept going. I talked to somebody who was running for the ASVAL National board, and I said, wow, okay. And then that's when ASVAL National caught wind of us. Picked this up as the official podcast for a little bit, for about a year and a half. And
Wow.
so, yeah, I mean, well, it's changed at this juncture, but I mean, that was the experience of how we transcended upward to just grow. And just now, when I tell you that last year we spoke to folks in 23 states. Yeah, 23 states. And New Zealand, and of course one of the states is Alaska and Canada as well. So we've been really you know, doing a lot. And this year, in the reboot, my new host, she's actually from the West Coast, and it's a
Okay.
great perspective. She's from
Yeah.
Oregon, and so I mean, it's a good mix, great synergy. And so we, you know, we're keeping it moving each week. So SEO perspectives, it's for school business officials and really the professional development of it, but more so than that, just a connection and hearing the stories. They really go a long way for us.
Well, check out his podcast again, SBO Perspectives, and you can find it on iTunes and Spotify and all that, Dale.
Yes,
Okay.
all the major platforms. Yes, correct.
SBO Perspectives. Well, that's a passion of yours. And right now, I love how you wrote this. I'm uber focused on personal growth in all facets. You're continuing to look to grow and get
Yes.
better. Tell me, JR, how does somebody, you got a busy family, three children, you're married, you're working in a big district in Long Island, how do you continue to sharpen your saw and make the time to do it?
Well, I think you compartmentalize it, right? So you think about it, well, you have X amount of hours in a day. You map out your schedule. I have a shared calendar with the missus to make sure I don't miss anything with the kids. That's important, right? And I think that helps me with the work schedule. And then you know, you carve out that time where, okay, here could be downtime because I'm also, you know, very much I work out a lot, enthusiast, you know, with fitness. It's just a matter of finding that balance. And so, like right now, I'm finishing up Harvard Business School Online, a class that they have, you know, with the College of Education. And that's something that, you know, you just set time. Like each year, Andrew, I set my goals at the beginning of the year. And I have a podcast about this where this is what I want to do. Like this year, I'm looking to try to do a TED talk to continue to grow, you know? And I think that a lot of things, if you put in your mindset manifesting it, you know, it comes to fruition. And so that's why, yeah, I write down my goals. And that's why, you know, I continue to check in and make certain that, hey, these are the targets I need to reach to get further. And then, you know, this year, planning to, you know, in June, I'll be president of the association, planning, you know, the agenda there. And what's forthcoming is also exciting.
Well, very cool. And I wish you good luck. And JR, I'll share. I got a call from left field. Someone dropped out of a TED Talk here in Binghamton. So I'm doing my first one next weekend in Binghamton.
Wow. Yeah. That's my alma mater, by the way, at Binghamton University. So that's great.
Might have to come up there, man. Check it out next Saturday.
All right. We'll talk offline. Okay. Yeah,
for sure. But good that's stuff. Exciting. Yeah. And again, you're a busy guy, but I love the concept of compartmentalizing it and making it a priority and then just getting it done.
Yes, you have to.
Awesome. Yeah. Our friend Nathan tuned in here. Nathan, tell me in the chat something you learned about you learned about JR on the trip. Something here, throw it in the chat for us, Nathan. Uh-oh. And if you're watching live, throw a question in there as well for JR or myself. JR, you heard also the sponsor of the show is IXL, and you said you've had a good experience as an educator, and I know it's huge with the math. What's been your experience using IXL in the schools?
So I work with the other administrators, for instance, our assistant superintendent for curriculum, you know, as far as helping to map out, helping to fund, and also talking about, you know, well, what's our return of income, right? Because if we invest in something, how is it like coming back to us, you know, for our students? So I think that the abilities that it has for capturing the state standards, you know, or whatever you need with NextGen, the ability for skills that what I could say in your textbooks, you want to match up, they have like, I think over 80 textbooks or so they can match it to. And the fact that, you know, the assessments, you could pretty much integrate it for teachers. It's a very easy platform. And I know about it more so too with my children in their school, because these are like the extra practice and stuff that the teachers talk about for them as well. So it's a very positive experience. And, you know, I would promote it to the fullest because, you know, we've been utilizing it for some years now. It's a great, great experience.
Home run. And that's been ours as well. And I, like you, I see my own kids doing it as well. Mm-hmm. JR, what was something that you wanted to talk about here on the podcast that I did not bring up to you?
Certainly. So you're probably going to shake your head on this one, but I know that I still have time that where I also do consulting under Zeal Consulting. Zeal Consulting is managed, owned by Jeff Lindes. And we actually did a nice project out in Virginia. We did a audit for a school, and not an audit from financially. They had specific questions related to their salaries and being competitive. So we dissected, you know, we did analysis of, you know, what the issues have been like, neighboring districts, their funding sources, and things that pretty much were moving the dial for them. And just to kind of maybe make recommendations so they could tailor themselves to maximize and be more efficient, and thus maybe offer, you know, higher salaries and be more competitive and not necessarily lose and have high turnover. So that was a great experience. We have another one. And I think that a reason why I say people don't know this, because obviously, you know, I have a full-time job doing a podcast, as well as I'm on a couple boards and you know, very active as ASWO New York, as well as ASWO International. I had a committee there. And so still finding the time, you know, to balance that with family and other things is major. And I think that it's important. I wanted to mention that because I think that as educators too, you want to do all you can, but you have to also not just maximizing your efforts to help others and grow school districts, but to be able to say, okay, you know, where might I go? Like my thing is future looking, where might I go down the line? You know, I'm learning this now about consulting, but perhaps, you know, my goal, eventually one day, superintendency, whatever have you, different levels. But then when you get past all that, what will you do? You know, some folks do interim here and there, but I think that learning this facet of just consulting is a big thing.
That's incredible. Zeal Consulting. So where, how can people find that? Is there a website? How can they reach out to you about that?
Yeah, zeal-ed.com. It's online. You know, you just put it in Google. There are about a dozen different areas of focus, from security to financial management to coaching services that are provided. And what the beauty of it is that there are over, I think over 60 different folks all across the country, like myself, superintendents, business officials, principals, administrators who work on different projects. So it's not just me. And it's just, you know, project can come and go and whatever pops up. So the opportunities are there to really help, like I said, other districts and also learn. You know, I always learn going to something like this. You know, when we did this for the first time, it was like, well, okay, now we can see how to build it for the next time and so forth and so on. So this is great.
Incredible. JR, you're bringing a ton of skills here. You're doing a lot of things. You're really socially connected.
Thanks.
What would you say, JR, for maybe someone who's a little more introverted or maybe not, doesn't have the skills, what would you say are some of the best relationship building techniques that you have? Because clearly you're building relationships everywhere you go.
Certainly. It's no secret. I have no problem sharing. I can say that I learned this from my Merrill Lynch days, pretty much just about knowing your audience before you go and doing your homework. And then from that, well, how do you build up into conversations, right? A lot of times you're standing by folks, you overhear something and then you find a commonality. I have a great knack at doing that. But beyond, even beyond that, you know, you sometimes when you target and pinpoint who you want to talk to. So you have to know your elevator pitch. You have to study. You have to, you know, with Merrill Lynch, we looked in the mirror. We practiced it. And we knew it the back of our hands. So, you know, with that, I'd say, it's very important you look folks in the eye. You shake hands. I know there's a period of time we couldn't do that. But you're firm. If your palms are sweaty, go in the bathroom and wash your hands and dry them. No, dry them, because this way your palm, because a clammy hand, seriously, it's a bad impression.
Yes.
And you'll hear later on what my main number mantra is. So that, and the fact that sometimes, honestly, you know, the business cards are fine, but you know, you want to maybe do the QR, it's a little bit faster, it's easier. But I write down names sometimes. You know, people don't realize that it's powerful too, that later on, you know, it doesn't look that good if you don't know the person's name. But yeah, great conversation. I just put my phone, notepad, I write the name down, and then later on, you know, if it's not a place where it has names on it, then this way I can address them by their name and it's more of a connection. So those are some of the few things that really help build your networking.
I love it.
Get that comfort zone too, for sure.
Yeah. Great advice there. Again, throw a question in the chat. Nathan loved your music on the trip. old school music.
I get a lot about the music all the time.
There you go.
Well, like I said, I mentioned 80s. So that is the number one genre. I mean, my playlist is tremendous. I have it on Spotify. And so, but really, I take requests. It wasn't me maximizing. So I got a bunch of requests. And then I called the Guatemalan playlist. and we had you know how it's on Sweet Home Alabama?
Oh yeah.
Okay, so we changed the words. Sweet Home Guatemala. Oh man, we had some good time singing in there. I can't think of some of the other songs right now because I'm kind of on the spot, but I could tell you that it was a great time, and we just loved it. And that charges up. That's the energy that I think that I look forward to each morning getting up. You have to drive about 25 minutes to get to the school from the hotel. And so just getting that positive flow going, the juices and singing. I'm big on karaoke. People know this. I brought karaoke to Saratoga for school business officials.
Sweet Home Guatemala, baby. Nice.
That's right. Yep.
Very cool. Well, I love that. It brings a spirit. It brings a commonality, as you said.
Yes.
I love 100%. It. Fantastic. JR, let's get to rapid fire here. These are going to be quick questions, but one more before we go. My mantra is surviving and thriving. We're all working towards, being the best we can be. Take out the word and I got a blank there, surviving, blank, thriving. What are you putting in there that is that thing that helps you go from surviving to thriving?
Okay, surviving, blank, thriving. Oof. Surviving, analyzing, thriving.
Give me a little more on that. Analyzing. Okay. Why? Why analyzing?
So there's two sides, right? Surviving, you might say, well, I'm just trying to just survive. I'm trying to just stay head above water, keep afloat. And thriving is like, yeah, I'm on a speedboat. I'm cruising right now. So in order to go from surviving to thriving, you have to analyze what you're doing. Why do you feel like you're surviving? Because you don't necessarily have to have that mindset. It's how you approach, how you look at it. Surviving may mean that you're just putting the tools necessary to put in place for you to actually thrive. And I think if you analyze that carefully, you can see how to actually change your mentality from surviving to thriving.
Great answer there, my friend. Great answer.
Thank you.
My friend Helen from Port Jervis. She's a wonderful mom, big supporter of Port Jervis. Awesome. She put a question in there. I don't know. Can you see it, JR? You want to read that for her? We lost him. He hit the button. How to encourage young people to volunteer and get the courage to get out there in a safe zone and pay it forward. We lost JR. Hopefully he'll be back here in a moment. Helen, I think we have to continue to talk about it. I think we have to continue to show, just like JR did on that trip, show when they did do it, right? I've gone into a lot of classes at Port Jervis to talk about my time volunteering with the church there. And here's JR back to us. He must have hit the wrong button.
I did hit the wrong button. I can't see it. I think I have to log in.
No, don't worry. I got it. I got it for you. Her question here says, how do we encourage young people to volunteer and get the courage to get out there in the safe zone, out of their safe zone, to pay it forward in a different community? So basically, how do we encourage young people to get out there and volunteer? How do we do it?
Yeah, it's not an easy thing, but I could tell you straightforward. And Helen, thanks for putting that in there. I appreciate that. You have to speak their language. And what I mean by speak their language is, what's the number one thing I see all the time? Kids, TikTok, YouTube. So I think if you're able to find ways to maybe pair up, have a big brother, big sister kind of thing, and then showcase that on their platform, social media, they can see the positivity behind it and then say, well, I want to be part of this. Right. And I think that the more you do that, the more infuses. It becomes a domino effect. It becomes so infectious. And I think you want something like that to go viral, really, online, because then children will see, well, here's the importance. And I think the old school way might have been, hey, listen, let's meet up, you know, in the church basement. Let's have a speech or talk. You know, somebody come by the school. But I think that if you immerse them and show them more than just that, you can do some of that, too. That goes a long way. Someone else talks to somebody that they can relate to. There's some great speakers out there. However, I do believe that if you can showcase what a great feeling, the smiles and the spirit behind this, You can't hide that. And they'll see it. And they'll want to be part of it.
Absolutely. Great question and a great answer. JR, let's get to rapid fire.
I'm excited about this.
Questions. It's like being in traffic on a Friday in Long Island, all right? Trying to get in the HOV lane to get on the LIE.
You know about that, right?
Let's keep it moving. Here we go. First one. Last book you read.
Oh, yeah. The Art of the Impossible by Stephen Kotler.
Last movie you saw?
Dumb Money. I saw it on the plane coming back from San Diego a few weeks ago.
Oh, the Supes Conference. You were out of the Supes Conference?
There was one we had as one national the week before.
Okay. Yep. Last concert you went to?
Usher, Vegas in November.
For the Mr. Super Bowl himself?
Yeah. It was the weekend before the last weekend, too. It was great. I went out there, and it was awesome. Really enjoyed it.
He got some 80s for you there. Your favorite dish?
It's a seafood dish. Probably lobster.
Nice. Favorite place to travel?
Well, I'd say I'm so used to traveling each year. I like California. I like California the most. Yeah. It's the best. Honestly, I wish to live there.
This summer, I will fill in the blank.
I will work on my six pack a lot more. I'm almost there.
As drinking older, a six pack, but the other six pack.
Yes. Yeah. The abdomen.
Nice. Go ahead. I interrupted you. The older we get.
No, it's hard to maintain. And I think that diet plays a lot into that. But I want to, you know, as I approach soon a milestone birthday pretty soon, I want to be able to say, look, I want to turn back the clock, you know, 25 years, 30 years, and say, this is it. So that's my goal.
That milestone birthday of 40?
Let's just move on a little bit more.
He's a numbers guy. The numbers don't lie. What's a pet peeve of yours? You talked about a lot of your passions this evening. What's a pet peeve of yours?
I guess, well, if you're working out and folks don't really clean up equipment, or, you know, you see folks maybe they don't wash their hands. I don't know. That's something that I'm really part of sanitary. I think it's important that you should be responsible, right, to not spread germs.
A recent victory for you.
This is rapid fire too. Recent victory. I guess it's playing my son in basketball. I still ain't able to beat him, so that's a recent victory.
you're holding on for a few more. At 8 a.m. on Saturday morning, I feel, fill in the blank.
Oh, I feel energized. The weekend, I'm not one to lay in the bed. I'm out and about. I'm doing household stuff, outdoor stuff, or hitting the gym, you know, so I'm really energized. I like the weekend.
Yeah, I'm right with you on that. Best takeaway from this show for our guests?
The best takeaway is really, I think something that I said earlier, even when I told Helen, but I think when you hit the horn about surviving versus thriving, you know, how to make that transition to be thriving. You know, I think that that's key. Analyze what you're doing right now, you know, how you're surviving, why you're surviving, and then just push it to the other side.
Favorite Long Island beach?
I have to say Fire Island is awesome. I mean, there's so many, you know, in Long Island, but yeah, Fire Island, definitely number one.
Long Island is, fill in the blank.
Long Island is Strong Island every day.
Long Island traffic hack.
Okay, yeah, this is good. This is, I like this. I like to give hacks, right? Okay. So right. I can tell you that when I travel, I always look at both Google Maps, right? The one on your phone, the normal one you see every day, and Waze. Now, the reason why I say that is that you can't use one. And I always favor Google Maps, but I look to compare and see any distinction on time. Because if they have close to the right time, that's what I'm going for, depending on the route. And then what you want to do is on that route, let's say it's a lot of street stuff like that, make an make a turn or two different, and you can see that you can make the path because everybody else is following the ways in Google too. Mm. So you kind of want to skip it. And that, you believe it or not, you'll skip some stuff and your time will go down when you do that. So that's my hack.
Analyzing. He's always analyzing the numbers. I love it.
Time is the best. I'm critical. I want to be on time for everything.
I mean, that's a pretty deep statement too, though, because everybody else is doing it. And you got to be okay with taking a different path sometimes. Incredible. Yeah. Best investing or financial tip?
Sure. So two things. First is that when I worked at Merrill, we looked at what's called technical analysis, as well as, you know, what obviously, you know, news coming out, you know, quarterly news hits, job reports, you know, earnings reports, if it did it for different companies. And the key to it is that, yeah, they may have good news, and it's also market influence, because the market's doing well. Sometimes, you know, the Dow stocks are going to all be in a bunch doing well. But you want to be able to say, what's the technical analysis? Technical analysis will let you know if something's about to break out or if it's going in the bear market territory. So look on both sides. Don't just look at and news. Find some news sources that aren't, you know, listen, Cramer, Mad Money, those shows are great. But you get stuff from there, it's too late. You know, people already invested in that. You have the big endowments, you have the big funds. And so you want to get stuff that is behind the scenes and get multiple sources to match up something you might want to invest in.
Just like your traffic maps.
Mm-hmm. And be patient as well. Correct. Patience mm-hmm. is also key. And don't go on your emotion alone, because I can tell you that you feel like, oh, you know, but if you really follow technical analysis and the fundamental research behind it, you know, through the reports, you'll be fine.
Here we go. These are, you got to pick one. All right. I'm going to give you a couple of choices, either or. You ready?
Ready. Let's go.
Cheeseburger, taco, empanada.
Taco.
Long walk or gym workout?
Gym workout all day.
Beach, pool, or lake?
Pool. It's cleaner.
Nice. Yeah. He's Sanity very sanitary. Is. Very sanitary. Your New York sports team.
All right. I got to tell you, I got to go Jets, Rangers, Knicks, and Yankees. Wow, Yankees my number one.
You're a Jets fan? God,
I know. Sorry. I'm supposed to be the other side. If you're Jets, supposed to be Mets, but that's the only one out the mix, because Rangers, Yankees, makes it all on that other side. But Jets, yeah, I know.
You're not afraid to step out of the line. That's okay. JR stands for?
So my first name was Jack, but I won't give away the R. I'll keep that in suspense. But it is my middle name initial. So JR, those are my initials. I'll keep it at that.
Book or audio book?
Audio book, definitely.
Series or movie?
Movie.
Winter or summer?
Summer.
Cash or credit?
What about debit? But no, I like credit because you could always pay, if you have the means, pay it off right away, but you get your points. You need your points.
Chase Sapphire card, I'm racking them up. Morning or night?
I do love the morning, but you know what? The night is good too. I'm going with night.
Cookie or donut?
Oh, donut.
Coffee or tea?
I'm a tea guy.
Surviving or thriving? Tea.
Thriving, baby. Let's go.
Yeah, Long Island Strong. This yes. is Dr. J.R. Mitchell, friends. We went into overtime. J.R., I'm trying to keep
Sorry
it 40
about that.
Minutes.
Thank you.
Ooh, we're at 55 okay. minutes. Unbelievable.
We had fun.
But yes. You were dropping a lot of knowledge and people in the chat. Appreciate it was great. So I'm a quote guy, J.R. You want to end this with a quote here?
Yeah. You never have a second chance to make your first impression. So remember that in everything you do, because that's my number one mantra. Wherever I go, you know, board meetings are great. You know, most folks don't get there, but you never know who might be a new person at night. And in new places, I do a lot of networking. that impression is critical. So that's what I'll give you guys.
Excellent ending there. JR, if people want to get in touch with you, again, you gave the name of the consulting, Zeal Consulting, but what's the best way people could get in touch with you? And again, find your podcast also.
Oh, yeah. So, well, SBOPerspectives.com, right? That's the website. Over 170 episodes are on there in the library as well. You can listen back to anything going back to June 21, the beginning of the year. And you know, I mean, you kept me in my school district, you know, school business stuff. You know, I'm on the website, my school district, Valishing 24. And then last but not least, my LinkedIn, I have over 3,000 connections on there. So, you know, definitely hit me there in SBO Perspectives. We have a page there as well. So feel free to inbox me on that, a couple social media platforms, wherever is your preference, wherever you like to reach out to me on. I'm definitely open to have a conversation about anything.
He's got a nice picture on LinkedIn as well. We should use it for the show. You
got about that picture, right? Okay. That's okay.
This is Dr. J.R. Mitchell, everyone. Again, Valley Stream, Long Island. What a great show. I do want to thank again our sponsor for the show, IXL Learning. Their information's in the chat. And JR said he's an audiobook guy. It is March. That means it's March Madness. A little commercial here. Yeah. My book is not only in print, but it's also on Audible, read by the author, Tales from the Hardwood, March Madness. Check it out.
Okay.
JR, we are going to sign off on the podcast. I appreciate you. If I could help you in any way, friends, at Andrew Murata 21 on Twitter. JR, I know we connected on Twitter. You want to drop your Twitter also?
At JR Mitch.
On Twitter or X, as they call it. All right. Mm-hmm. JR, you stay on the line, my friend. We're going to sign off. Thanks for everybody who tuned in here. This was a great show. And JR, I appreciate you.
Thank you. Thank you, Andrew. Appreciate you.
All right. Stay on the line. Here we go.